Welcome to season one of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Pilates teacher of over 22 years. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain and feel good, relaxations, positive affirmations, and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind for more relaxation, stretching, core, back strength and happiness. So big welcome to this week's podcast, and it's all about looking at pain from the inside out, guided by the inner child with muscle whisperer Sophia Cooks. So I'm going to tell you a bit before I introduce Sophia properly to you today. I'm going to just let you know a little bit about Sophia before we get chatting on the podcast today, and of course always ending with the gorgeous 5 minutes relaxation as well for you, as well as drumroll, inspirational positive affirmation cards of course, and an angel card for you today. Ooh, we'll tell you more about that later. Anyway, so all about Sophia. So Sophia Cooks is a leading pioneer, innovator, professional wellness practitioner in the treatment of chronic back pain and stress. She is an author of 3 best-selling self-help books with almost 30 years' knowledge and experience as a health expert. She has developed a revolutionary treatment that has made her a worldwide authority in the field of chronic pain and mental health. So here are her books. Ta-da! So we've got The Muscle Whisperer, The Keys to Unlocking Your Back Pain. I've been very busy reading that one. Then we have Pain-Free You, Easy Steps to a Happy, Healthier You. And then we also have Desperately Seeking a Pain-Free Self as well. So there we go. And as the founder of her breakthrough treatments, Langolotti Tri-Therapy, or LT therapy, that's much easier to say, LT therapy as it's generally known, her unique 3D mapping system allows people to understand the link between mind-body-pain connection. From data collected, the results she achieves in helping to reduce her clients' pain naturally is 100% after the first session. She now incorporates this system as part of her new online courses. At the age of 23, Sophia's career was triggered by a head-on collision with a drunk driver on Christmas Eve 1987. As she was returning home from midnight mass, her injuries left her in hospital for weeks with a poor prognosis, doctors giving her a 3% chance of ever walking again. Falling into a deep depression with weeks of unsuccessful physiotherapy, Sophia watched her mental and physical health rapidly deteriorate. Then after reading 2 books that changed her life, Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life, and Susan Jeffers, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, her healing began. Sophia spent the following months using mindset techniques and movements to retrain her body to walk again. She succeeded almost 12 months from the date of her original accident. Doctors were not interested in listening to her recovery techniques, so she embarked on a new professional career to educate people how to reconnect with their inner child and empower their own healing. A journey which took Sophia over 10 years of traveling all over the world, accessing educational resources, tools and methods that eventually led to her founding her unique system that she has successfully shared with hundreds of her clients worldwide. Named the Muscle Whisperer by her army of fans globally because of how she pinpoints with accuracy why pain in the muscles can be created from a negative mindset, especially when there is no known physical cause. She's highly acclaimed by journalists and endorsed by professionals. The clients she treats cover every genre, from housewives, professionals, teachers, sports players, to high-profile celebrities, including Liv Tyler. Since 2001, Sophia has run 2 highly successful clinics in Harley Street, London, and Leeds, Bradford, West Yorkshire, treating her private clients. However, since COVID-19, her online work has accelerated and grown worldwide. Accessed by clients struggling with the impact of the pandemic, working from home and not able to see family, friends, etc., Sophia recognised her treatments and methods could successfully be delivered with phenomenal results via her consultations and online 6 and 12-week courses of her RAISE pain programme. In each 45-minute session, Sophia connects and channels the client's inner child energy and creates tailor-made exercises for that person to be able to reconnect with their inner self and become whole again. Sophia is in her final year of MSc research in advanced complementary medicine and currently conducting her research study on the importance of therapist self-care. She's an active member of the Bradford Leeds Ethics Committee in West Yorkshire and senior associate member of the Royal Society of Medicine. Sophia's mission statement, we will chat to her in a second, I promise you. Sophia's mission statement is to embed equality, diversity and inclusion in all that she does, ensuring that the programme she delivers drives change in the community and supports a system that is inclusive for everyone. She's working towards achieving an equal, diverse and inclusive environment where all individuals are able to thrive to live a happier, healthy and fulfilled life. I know that was a mouthful, but you know, it's nice to know who I'm talking to before we have this inspirational chat now. And there's some great tips in this interview for you. It's worth having a notepad and pen with you. And when you get those tips coming in or those aha moments, that inspiration come in, that may help you too. So how gorgeous is that? Let's just get straight into the interview now. So I really hope you enjoy listening to that right here, right now. Okay, so big welcome to today's guest. Woo-hoo! So we have Sophia Cook. Sophia, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Beth, for having me on your podcast today and sharing my work with your listeners.
Hooray for this. So we're going to delve straight into a little bit about your story. So what is your story that inspired you for both you and your work?
I suppose, Bev, looking back, there is an obvious event that inspired me to do the work that I do now. But leading up to the event, there were other things which I now recognise on reflection what contributed to me doing the specialist work I now do today. And it goes way back to about the age of six when I first saw one of my spirit guides. And she was a young nun in white who came to me at a time of difficulty in my childhood when there was mental and physical abuse. And she left me with a great sense of protection and purpose. But I didn't know what that was at the time. And then the next time came about in school, especially secondary school, and my friends who wanted solutions to emotional problems, I seemed to be the one that always had the answers. And I never knew why. Someone just said I was, what do they say, that terminology, a wise head on young shoulders, something like that. Anyway, the catalyst which got me into this work was at the age of 23, I had a near-death experience on Christmas Eve 1987, and I wrote about that in my first book.
Yeah.
I'd been to Midnight Mass, and I was coming out of it, and it was a very cold, crisp night. And throughout the service, I remember focusing on the death of a friend I'd lost about 6 weeks prior to Christmas. Oh. And they'd had a collision, they just in a lamppost, and was instantly killed. And spent the whole of that service not focusing on what were the feelings, the emotions going through that event. I don't know why, but I suppose I was very drawn to it. And when I came out, went into my car and put the seatbelt on, because it became legal in 83, and it's really the thing that saved my life, I would say. And I got into first gear, pulled out, and for 10 past 12 on, you know, early Christmas Day morning, it was quite busy on the street. And then suddenly, still in first gear, I saw a couple of lights appear in front of me. And I thought, what are they doing on my side of the road? And then I realised that these lights were headlights from a car coming towards me. And therefore, I put the brake on and thought, I don't know what it feels like to have an impact, because I've never had an accident, but I'm sure it won't hurt. And then everything went into slow motion. My world just stopped. It was huge. My saloon car went from this right down to the size of a mini, and I was crushed in the middle of it. And it took about a crew of four firemen to cut me out. And in that process, which I don't know how long it went on for, I just remembered to say to myself, I can't pass out, because if I pass out, I won't wake up in this world again. I just need to breathe and stay alive, because I have a purpose. And the paramedic said to me in the ambulance, with this blood pressure reading, you should have passed out. And I said,
Lost you there, Sophie. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we lost you for a second.
I was just saying, in the paramedic was telling me that with my blood pressure reading so low, I should have passed out. So what I ended up, and I just kept telling him, I have a purpose. I have to stay alive. I've got a purpose. And I didn't know what that was. And he must have thought I've got some sort of concussion. But when I went to the hospital, I had multiple injuries, and the biggest one was I couldn't feel my legs. I couldn't walk. My sciatic nerve was damaged, and the consultant said I had a 3% chance of walking again. Mm. And with that news, I'd never been in a place of depression, of feeling what depression was like. Mm. I'd always been an upbeat person, and suddenly to be told you might not be able to walk if you don't progress through the physiotherapy, was like a sort of death sentence in a way. So I emotionally just closed myself down. I did not progress through 3 months of physiotherapy, and was just sent home with a wheelchair. And it was a case of just get on with your life. And then one day I was given two books to read, and your listeners might know them. They are Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life, mm-hmm. and also Susan Jeffers' Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And they transformed my life, because somebody suddenly told me, you have the power within you to make a difference, to actually change, mm-hmm. no matter what diagnosis you've got, you can change it. So that put me on the path of daily ritual of engaging my body in exercise therapies that would stimulate my muscle memory. And then also mindfulness, visualization.
And very powerful.
And I think the powerful thing here, Bev, is when anyone's had something like a life-changing diagnosis, is the motivation within inside you. Why did I really want to do it? And I wanted to walk because I just got married and I wanted to start a family. And that really meant so much to me. And 5 months later, I did walk again. I walked into the consultant's office and he just said, I don't want to know how you did it. You're one in a million. Off you go. Live your life. And it was that point I walked out of the office and I said, I'm going to teach other people how to empower themselves and heal, you know, channel their own healing, because we all have that ability. And I suppose that was the point that got me into traveling the world for 10 years, immersing myself in any mind, body, spirit therapy that was going, learning psychology, and developing my own mapping system, which I did all those years ago, that I use today in the work that I do.
Yeah, it's quite a story. It's quite a story. And, you know, so glad that you healed, and here you are doing the work that you can do. Do you want to just sit back a little bit just so I can see that? That would be lovely. So obviously that's what inspired you. And you're now kind of known as the Muscle Whisperer. And you now do your work with the inner child as well as the map of the body that you mentioned. So what exactly is somebody's inner child, for anyone who might not have heard what on earth that is?
Right, about 15 years ago, I'll just talk about how I got Muscle Whisperer for about a minute, because it's a tag, that name that stuck with me. My clients started calling me Muscle Whisperer and I didn't know why, and then I was featured in many of the national press magazines, such as Tatler Vogue, and then the media with the Daily Mail, and they kept coining the phrase Muscle Whisperer, and it stuck. And it's because I intuitively could read people's emotions through their muscle groups, using the 3D mapping system of the body that I developed. And the map allows people to understand how their mindset, emotions, thoughts and feelings impact each muscle group that can lead to physical pain or other symptoms such as IBS or whatever people have got going on at the time. Now, I didn't realise then that I was actually connecting to their inner child. And the term inner child comes from psychology. It's where we are the parent to both our conscious adult mind, which is where our day-to-day thinking is, and the unconscious mind where our inner child lives. And if you look at the inner child, it's a part of your psyche, which is linked to your emotional life. And inner child retains your innocence, creativity, your values and beliefs. Literally, your inner child is the child that lives within you. It governs your emotional center and your energy. So therefore, it's really important that we all stay connected with this sensitive part of ourselves to give our, you know, which we know as inner child. So accessing your inner child allows you to find the root of any issues that you may have as an adult. So that's what inner child is.
Yeah, so can somebody think of their inner child as being their younger them?
Yeah, a younger version of themselves. And how I explain it to my clients that I work with is that inner child can be anywhere between the ages of about, say, 5 to 15, because it's when the first trauma, because, I mean, some people never have any trauma linked to their childhood. Inner child can be the first important memory that you reach out to. So some people it's 8, some people it's 6, some people it's 14. So it can be either a trauma memory or it can be a good memory. It doesn't matter, but that's where you go to in your mindset. And that's who you talk to every morning you wake up. If somebody said, I never talk to myself internally, then I'd say you're a machine, because humans, every human, you have to have a conversation with yourself. You get up in the morning and decide what you're going to have for breakfast, what you're going to wear, what you're going to be doing. That's that inner conversation you're having with your inner child.
And we do just talk to ourselves, don't we? I experienced a session with you last week, didn't I? And I love thinking about my 7-year-old happy self at the farm, having a wonderful time, not a care in the world, by nature and the rhododendron bushes. And it's actually really quite fun. It's really quite fun sort of picturing yourself at one of your happiest childhood moments. And I think that's quite a nice way of connecting in. So you want to, we need to talk to ourselves nicely. So leading on from talking ourselves nicely, how do you read people's energy to help them find solutions to their pain in relation to their inner child then?
So when I make a connection with a person's inner child, I do it intuitively, which means I can communicate with inner child by listening to a person's voice, even reading a text or email and reading their energy aura, and our energy aura is on the outside, so I can read that. So I can even read the energy through the tone of somebody's message, a text message or email to me. And I'm doing it intuitively, picking up on that person's energy and then channeling the inner child. And what I mean by channeling is communicating at a deeper level with that person's inner self and higher self, and communicating with their inner child through that sort of two-way system. And now everyone has the ability to channel in this way, but it takes daily discipline to practice self-care, for instance, such as meditation, mindfulness, gratitude. And a lot of times people are not in that mindset. They're very disconnected from their inner self, and that inner self-talk language tends to be more negative than positive. We tend to praise people on the outside, but on the inside, we're the hardest person on ourselves. We're so tough on ourselves. And the important thing is we have to master two worlds. We have to master our internal world as well as our external world. And we tend to be very good at doing the external, whether that's superficially or not, you know, on the outside, showing people that, you know, we're successful, or we're getting it together, we know what we're doing. but internally, quite a lot of times we're in crisis and there's a lot of conflict. And guess who's holding that that particular emotion? And that's the inner child. And that's why we get this division inside us. And this, I call it the gap, where we become disassociated with our true self. And when I therefore work with people and bring their connection back with the inner child, it's bridging that gap. And I'm, you know, there's lots of things that come in that journey of discovery.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So some, do you find everyone's happy calling it inner child, or do you think some people prefer calling it their subconscious mind?
People call it what they like. Some people call it my mini me. Though I quite like that one. But in psychology, if you're on a medical side, people like to say unconscious mind. That's the medical term. People are people. They like simple terminology.
Yeah.
They don't want technical all the time. And I think, and so in psychology, yes, we use inner child terminology, but sometimes call it, you know, I say my mini me, you know, I quite like that. And she holds, you know, and she's saying sometimes, stop being so hard on me, stop being tough when things don't go so well. So it's that inner self-talk that is the key to empowering ourselves to, you know, heal and physical pain as well as emotional pain.
Yeah, I think there's so many layers to the onions of it all with that. And so you've kind of switched from having a clinic in Harley Street, and you had another clinic, didn't you, to now working online. And yet you're now getting, even though you've got really good results then with people, you've written 3 books and helping so many people, but you're now finding that you're not having to put your hands on people, and you're able to now work in this way, thank goodness, and, you know, help people all over the world online. And yeah, sometimes you're getting more results. So if people have got all these, you know, thoughts going on, and do you feel like all the pressure and the knots in the muscles and all any kind of physical symptoms of low back pain, whatever, do you feel they're all emotionally caused, or is it a combination?
Great question, Bev. For me, to answer the first part, why I switched on the clinic, after almost 30 years working in 2 physical clinics, Harley Street and in London and in Leeds Bradford, and being a hands-on therapist, I remember the last 5 years in particular, that when people were coming to the clinic to experience the 3D mapping system and my work, I was finding I was spending more time talking to people about and educating them about understanding how their emotions impact the physiology and working with the inner child. And then the last 20 minutes seemed to be the physical part. The biggest revelation for me came in lockdown last year, because I had suddenly to close both clinics down and suspend my clients, and they were feeling lost. And I decided to put an online clinic, and I couldn't believe the results I was getting, because as a researcher as well, I collect data, and using a MindMop pain score sheet, and I found that collecting the data online, I was getting quicker and bigger results, because I was connecting to people on a weekly basis, and therefore the progress of alleviating their pain and their depression and their anxiety was, I was getting a quicker result. And I couldn't understand it, but I thought, it's working and there's something in the data. However, is it always emotion? It's a bit chicken and egg question, because did the pain trigger first, and was it created by an emotion, or was it created by a physical? And in a survey, 99% of people who would be asked that kind of question would say, oh, my physical pain I'm feeling in my lower back is definitely because I did something physical. I either picked something up funny, or I got out of bed wrong. You can imagine that's the association. But really, it starts in the mindset. What happened 2 days ago, 3 days ago in that person's life emotionally that could have affected that pain in the body? And I suppose that's the understanding, is does it always start with it with the physical only if it's been an accident or you've, you know, fallen on the ground and had a physical impact, then it starts with the physical. And the majority of my clients who I see have no known cause. So they come to me and they say, I can't understand why I've got that back pain or that shoulder pain, and it's ongoing and it's chronic, and doctors, medicine hasn't touched it, because it never started with a physical, it started with the emotional, and it isn't fixed with a tablet. And therefore, that when you have physical trauma, yes, physiotherapy and medication will help. But it's the, when it's an emotional pathway, you'll notice that it doesn't go away. It keep, it keeps coming. And when people do have pain in the body, if you've ever had any Bev yourself, lower back pain, sciatica, if it comes and goes, it's because it's working on the muscle memory system, and therefore download that system operates those muscles, but at the same time it's downloading your emotional feelings and thoughts of the day. So you have to be very mindful of how you feel inside and what you're responding to on the outside, because it will release chemicals internally, endorphins, that will create your end state, a stress state, or you know, a healthy state.
Yeah, so negative thinking, all these thoughts, there are so many pressures that the people experience in life, grief, illness, as we've talked about a little bit with you, road traffic accident. That's how I got into my work, mind, body and spirit. illness, but there's different stresses of life, divorce, financial pressure. Obviously, there's been the world pandemic, and the list goes on. And you mentioned in your book a statistic from the charity Minds that a quarter of people have a mental health problem at some point. So how can someone cope and find solutions more easily, just as a general thing?
I'll give that answer in a moment, Bev. Just going back to something and clarifying that, because this is the connection, and you mentioned this before, that people say, I can't understand how my emotions impact my physiology. And it's simple. It's through the muscle memory pathway, as I said, and the chemical release. So the more negative you think, you're producing the fight or flight response, which is adrenaline, cortisol. And therefore, if you don't use that adrenaline, what will happen? It converts to lactic acid and then starts to store in your muscle groups in your body. And that builds over time to build pressure and knots. And then eventually that pressure impacts your sensory nerves, that leads to pain. So that is the pathway. So we really need to be thinking happy thoughts, good thoughts, more positive mindset, because that releases good endorphins, such as oxytocin, which is another one, an endorphin that is really healing and connects ourselves again to our inner child. So how can people find solutions? Well,
let's just pause on that just for a second with the oxytocin and thinking the happy thoughts and things like that. And sometimes it's called the hug hormone, isn't it? I know Dr. David Hamilton, in one of his books, he's with the research that's been done on all of the hormones and the happy hormones and stuff. It's like, obviously in the last year, people haven't been able to have as many hugs. But we've got to just hug yourself right now, everybody. Give yourself a hug, goodness sake. But they say about, you know, stroking a pet, that's like a loving thing, and that can bring on anything that's going to make you feel happier or think happier. It's like, do it, everybody, do it. So, it's such an important one, isn't it? I think we'll, after you've gone on to the next bit, I think we'll have to pick a positive affirmation together to bring some upliftment for everyone, for you listening as well. So anything else you'd like to just, I just felt like we had to pause on the oxytocin and those happy thoughts. And I think you've described that so beautifully, what happens and then what we need to do instead, everybody.
Exactly, Bev. When, because I've been there in a lot of situations, and it's never been easy. We're always fighting fires, and we're always looking, when we get into that negative state, to find a quick solution, a quick fix, and sometimes, or a sticking plaster. But the easiest way to solve our problems, it's easy, is to look at a problem in a different way. See a problem as a gift, right? See it as a challenge, as an opportunity for you to, you know, because someone else's situation may be worse than yours. So we've got to flip it on the head. And if we live in the now, as Eckhart Tolle says, live in the power of the now, the moment, we won't miss anything. We won't overthink things. What I say to my clients is look for three small wins a day. Three small daily wins. Don't go for the big wins. Go for the small wins. And guess what my small win was this morning, Beth?
Yeah.
I was opening my toothpaste, a new tube, and a bit of toothpaste went into my eye. Oh. And it was extremely sore, and my eye started watering, and I was thinking of the pain in the left eye, and I was about to wash it out, and then I realised the magic of my eye has the ability to wash itself and heal itself, because it forms tears and then it cleans the eye, it's self-cleaning. And within about a minute and a half, the pain had gone. And I thought, that's a small win today, feeling blessed I've got my eyes that, and appreciating the way it cleans itself. So it's something as small as that and living in the moment of now, that helps prevent us wanting the big wins, you know, every day. And that's pressure. When you put pressure on yourself, you're releasing again more of that negative fight or flight, which we don't want to have. Look for the small wins every day, not the big wins.
So I think it'd be really nice for you listening at home, wherever you're listening to this right now, just think of, you know, like Sophia said, just think of one lovely win. It can be as small as you like Sophia said, and just think of that small win and give yourself permission to think of that one. And then Sophia said three wins, and then go for three, and even better, maybe write them down. What do you think, Sophia?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's different from gratitude, and it's different from mindfulness. It's about what you did that day, what was the smallest wins, you know, and I would say start with the three. You know, it's a powerful number. And then if you've got more small wins, then write them all down. You'll be amazed at how you can transform your thinking and celebrate that, my goodness, I did do that. No matter how small it is, it's when we look, the transformation is in the small things. It's small steps that make the biggest changes. And when we talk about our own inner talk, remember that words can heal, but words can also harm. So for me, it's how you speak to yourself gives you the greatest quality of life. So you need to be, you know, empoweringly good to yourself. And it doesn't take a lot to do that.
Yeah, I just feel like intuitively saying, I was at this lovely Hay House conference, and Louise Hay and Cheryl Richardson were there, and Cheryl Richardson also was saying, you know, like, always talk to yourself like you would to your 5-year-old self.
Exactly.
And are you doing that? And maybe we're doing it so much of the time, maybe some of the time we're not. And like when I did the session with you, I discovered, you know, we're all imperfectly improving, and we're all on a journey, and I think we can all keep learning. And I'm so glad that I was inspired and intuitively led to have a chance to listen to Sophia today. So talking about one way that you said that you swear by having a morning routine. Me too, I love doing my kind of morning routine and miracle morning. So what are your favourite things that you love to include, and how does that help and inspire you, and how do you think that can help the listener in relation to pain and feeling great and all of that?
I think for me, Bev, I have to have my, and I was once taught this by a friend of mine, is to have your 5 non-negotiables. I'm actually currently doing a master's degree dissertation project on understanding self-care and the importance of self-care. So I call these my 5 non-negotiable self-care values, and I teach this to my clients. And it's really important to have the 5 non-negotiables every day you're going to do that works for you, not do it because it's the new thing out there, like, you know, I'll do meditation because everyone's doing it, because not everyone can you know, it suits, everyone can do meditation, but a lot of times people don't feel comfortable, let's say, with meditation. Some, for me, in my five non-negotiables, you know, is daily movement. That is key. It's essential. So I'll do either a 50-minute brisk walk or a 20-minute session on my rebounder or indoor bike, because when we get the body into a physiological good state, we're in action, it releases all those good endorphins and it makes us ready for the day. Well, it makes me ready for the day, but it does. There's research that proves it. So yeah, movement definitely is key. I try and get 10,000 steps always done every day, and especially now in the pandemic, many of the listeners will be sat there working at home, working at that desk for long hours. And when I've sat at my desk and I'm doing all my online courses, I'm very mindful that I'm not doing my steps, I'm not moving my body, I'm not energizing myself. Even now, look, sat up here, I've been, you know, you corrected me so wonderfully, Bev, a couple of times, that I've got to learn to sit up. And when you
it's just like, most of you will be just listening to this, but some of you will be watching this on YouTube as well. So I want you to be able to see Sophie's beautiful face.
But you're absolutely right, because when we, and you're a Pilates instructor as well, so you'll know about keeping my physiology up. Mm-hmm. And it's important to be sat up, because when we're in that state, we're more focused, and where we focus, you know, we're more energized. So movement's key for me. Another key thing is prayer, daily prayer. You know, I'm not a religious buff or anything, but faith, keeping the faith for me is important. It's my connection with the universe and my higher self. And when I have faith, I have hope, I have joy, I find happiness. That's my leading path into it. And if you can't believe in anything, what is there in life? You have to believe in yourself, or nobody else will invest in you. You know, it's... And it's reinforcing again that value and that connection with your inner child, which is so lovely. So those two are my two key things that I do every day. But I have got my my contract with myself, my five non-negotiables here I wanted to show you. And I do in there as well, I do have gratitude, mindfulness. And one thing I like to practice is mindful listening. Because when you're connected with people every day, a lot of people are sort of, you know, when they're listening, but they're not listening to you because their mind is somewhere else. And when we're in a state of distraction and not fully listening to that person, it's like you're rushing your life away. Have you noticed as we get older, time seems to be going faster? But when you were younger, you seemed to have all the time in the world. And a lot of, I mean, when I was about 14, I wanted to be already grown up at 24. So why is that happening about time? It's because we're too ahead of ourselves. We have to pull ourselves back and learn to stay in that moment and value it. And this is where things like mindful listening and mindful eating, you know, slowing the pace down. Let's slow it down, because everything's going a bit too fast out there. Well, for me it is, and I'm sure the listeners will agree, especially those who are at home schooling as well. Quite a challenging situation. So, and even myself, I've had to learn to slow my pace down, because I'm aware that I speak extremely fast, and that's my European heritage. I'll pin that one on it. But I want to be more mindful in speaking slower, because then people listen better and they can absorb that information better. So, you know, that's, you know, some of the top tips I'd like to share, and hopefully people will engage in that.
Yeah, it's really important, cardiovascular, all those things, you know, it's about choosing exactly what, as you say, it's about what works for each person, isn't it? Cardiovascular exercise, yes, so important. Obviously, I do the mindfulness Pilates and obviously teach that for all my clients, which I think is a beautiful combination, because it gives you that perfect balance of the cardiovascular and all those benefits. There's so many, aren't there? As well as the kind of stretching, core stability, strengthening and all of that. I feel like it'd be really nice for us to pick a card together, and for the listener. This is for you.
All right. Oh, are you going to? Oh my! This is a treat for me. Thank you.
So I'm going to pick Sophia a card, and I'll pick me a card. But whilst you're listening, I want you to think about what this message means to you. So these are my Happy Kids cards, positive affirmation card deck. and there's 52 different positive affirmations. We've been talking about the importance, but also the physiology behind the reason for positive thinking and everything. So let's see what we get for Sophia today. I smile and laugh. I smile, laugh, and play today.
I so do that. I was so connecting with that. And I love your cards, Bev, because they are so, they really have depth and meaning. And everyone carries that message you need today. I smile and laugh today. Yeah. Look at me with the big smile. You pick, fantastic. Thank you so much. And that connects me. I've got a picture now inside me of my inner child, and she's got a really happy memory, and she's playing in my dad's allotment where we grew lots of flowers and herbs so that we could make, I could make little treatments, and it's a sunny day. So yeah, fantastic card. Very, very in tune with my inner child.
So that is for you today. And so listening at home, really have a think about what that means to you today and what makes you smile, what makes you laugh, what makes your younger you happy, or like Sophia just created a beautiful happy memory. She brought in a lovely happy memory of childhood and stuff. So have a think about what that means to you today as well. That's really important. And since I did a session with Sophia, it's been really, really wonderful because it helps me be completely myself. Since that one session, I've been completely myself. And this week, it's interesting because Sophia and I both have a kind of sciencey background as well as being deeply intuitive and spiritual. But in my mindfulness Pilates work, interestingly, I was a little bit in the spiritual closet. And it was like, mind body. And Sophia asked me quite a poignant question. She said, you said to me, why are you on the fence? She said nothing else. I went away and I wrote down, why am I on the fence? No, I'm not on the fence anymore. So today I'm sharing a statistic with you. This week so far, I've been teaching my mindfulness Pilates with my angel cards as well. The statistic is, it feels wonderful that I'm giving my clients the opportunity to have a positive affirmation or an angel card, but 75% chose an angel card this week.
Wow.
Only 25%, well, I pick one for them anyway, but 25 for their individual message, 25% picked positive affirmation, 75% angel. So it was interesting by actually... they wanted it, but I've been denying them for nearly 24 years. No, that's not true. But, you know, sometimes it takes time for a bit of extra healing for these things to come in. So thank you, Sophia, for that. So I'm going to pick a card now for me, and then I'm going to pick one extra one for the listener too. But this is also for you.
Thank you.
So my one is, I love to slow down. I take a break and rest to recharge my batteries. And yeah, I visualized my day. One of my favorite things in my more personal morning routine is to do a little visualization for 10 minutes. And I daydream about anything and visualize, which is so powerful because it makes you feel so happy about your, it can be about anything. To me this morning, I was daydreaming about my ideal life. And I was swimming in this amazing infinity swimming pool. And I said to myself, do you want to come and swim in this lovely pool? And it was just gorgeous. So the other thing I visualized was about the day ahead. So you can visualize about the day ahead too. And I visualized that I'd have the most wonderful lunch break and do all these lovely things and walk and meditate and whatever. So that's a chance. That's how I slowed down this morning. And then this afternoon, I'm going to have a real hour of slow down. So what does that mean to you at home? So we're going to do one more, Sophia, for the listener.
Brilliant.
Feels like a good idea. Reading. I love to read. Reading makes me happy.
Amazing. You should be all reading 30 minutes a day to stimulate the mind and create knowledge. That's a brilliant card, Bev. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I'm only reading 10 minutes in the morning at the moment, and then I read later on more in the evening. But when I read my only 10 minutes in the morning, I'm like, I want to read more. I want to read more. Obviously, I read your book. Sophie's got 3 books. Oh, my goodness. That's very good. So I'm looking forward to your next one. I think that's going to be very, very fascinating. So what one tip would you love? So the reading message, what does that mean to you? But what one tip would you love to leave everybody with today for you at home?
I think that message was for me to always carry on that 30 minutes reading that I'm doing, because it just gives you sufficient time in your day to learn something new, whether it's fiction or factual. I like to do that. If I'm in fiction, I'm escaping and my inner child is connecting with me. And if I'm in a factual book, then it's about enhancing my knowledge, and I'm thinking, but it's dangerous factual books for me because I just want more. Because I've got an inquisitive mind. I think the top tip to the listener, and I really want this to share with the listeners because it's really important, is to be conscious of your inner self-talk, as the relationship you have with yourself will create your quality of life. Recognize any daily thoughts that are negative and change each thought to a positive one. And if you remember that your thoughts can harm or heal you, then you will become more mindful of them. And if you're constantly thinking about past things you could have done better, change it, because that's being hard on your inner self, your inner child, and that will manifest in some sort of pain along the line. You don't believe it now, but the lower back is all where we hold on to childhood memories, values, beliefs and fears. And so if you start having a bit of lower back pain, then there's it's the inner child showing you there's a challenge going on, and that can actually go into the stomach and the bowel as well. So people might have symptoms of IBS with that as well. So the important thing is to learn that you grow from your challenges and that they are opportunities, and tell yourself that you're now a better person because of what you do every day by counting your 3 wins.
Yeah, lovely. Just beautiful, beautiful tips. And you might want to just re-listen to this podcast and get your pen and paper out and just really indulge in some of those tips. Write them down and stuff. So you've got a little gift for everyone. What's the website where everyone can find you?
Right, my website will be www.mbhtraining.com. You can find all my resources and how to access me via if the link's on the link, or just by accessing mbhtraining.com. And the gift to all the listeners today and on hashtag replay when they reconnect with the podcast is a free 30-minute reading in a discovery call to help people understand if they have any pain manifesting anywhere, that's mental or physical, what it connects to in their emotions, using the mapping system I developed. And at the same time, I'll be connecting with their inner child. So I'd like to give that as a free gift for everyone if they'd like to connect and contact me.
Yeah, that's really lovely. It's really lovely. I highly recommend it, actually. It's been fascinating. I'm really grateful how I'm being fully myself. I have a mindfulness Pilates podcast, if I don't sit next to angel mirrors for nothing. So I do work with the angels all the time, which is very exciting. First time I've said that on the podcast, and that is thanks for hanging out with Sophia last week. So yeah, it's a really fascinating little discovery that you can go on there, because there's the mind is fascinating, isn't it? So I'd just like to say big, big thank you for coming on the podcast today.
And thank you, Beth, for having me. I've really appreciated the session today. It's been a really good connection, and I'm hoping that the listeners benefited and they'll apply some of the little solutions and tips that we've shared in this podcast today.
Yeah, thank you so, so much. Okay, so now that I pick angel cards in classes all the time, just so exciting. Oh my God, the sessions this week have been inspirational, through the roof, incredible. We're going to pick an angel card. So these are the end of my deck of angel cards, angelic mini cards. So Sophie, let's see what comes up here as a final angel message today. So angels, what would you like us to know today, please? Just take a breath in and out. We're going to get to do a meditation after this, don't worry everybody, but we're going to do an angel card for now. Best card message today, please. I feel like picking all of them. You can have them all. No, you can have one today. Okay, this is the one that's jumping out the most, which is it's the only one that's not in the sand. These were all written in the beach with my guardian angel. This one is a photograph from the woods. So it's an angel feather, and it says, notice the signs around you. You may have a moment whereby your angels float a feather at a moment you need love, guidance, and support.
Fantastic card, Bev, and I'm glad that you picked when you went for angel cards, because, and your deck in particular, because that feather to me resonates the connection with my lovely mum and dad, particularly my mum who I lost 2 years ago, and she's sending me that message that, you know, we've had, you know, that keep strong, keep going, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, that's beautiful, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I can't believe I'm watching that. I can see that. And you've picked that card. So appropriate for me today.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So you might find a little white fluffy feather on your path. Your angel might get you to notice it. It's just giving you that comfort. And sometimes it can be from a loved one as well, like with Sophia's mum, which is beautiful. So what does that message mean to you today? The message to me is be yourself, follow the signs. And just follow your own amazing path, and magic will happen. Really, magic will happen. Any parting words with that?
Yeah, connect. The feather connects you to your inner child. Be connected to yourself. Positive affirmations, and stop being hard on yourself. The self-talk inside is going to heal, not harm.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And I'm so happy that we picked an angel card today. The podcast is shifting and evolving, everyone. Watch out. Keep tuning in if you love it. And sending you so, so much love from us today and the angels too. Lots and lots of love. So that was a lovely interview, wasn't it? So we're going to delve into a meditation now, because every single podcast I will always treat you to a gorgeous relaxation meditation for about 5 minutes or so. So get yourself prepared for meditation right now, and really, really indulge and enjoy this, because you deserve this special time for you. You can do the meditation sitting or lying down. And if you'd like to, you can tuck yourself up in a cozy blanket. But more than anything, just make sure you're really comfortable and close your eyes. Just bringing the beautiful music in for you now. And just breathe and relax with your eyes closed. Breathing in through your nose and breathing out through your mouth. Relax. And you're going to go on a walk today in your mind. In your mind, you're going to visualize yourself now walking down a hill to find a nice spot on the beach. And this beach has just magically turned into a private beach, especially for you. You might want to sit on a lovely rock or choose some soft sand pressed against your body as you lie there surrounded by your thoughts and the sky. And just allow yourself to surrender all of your thoughts to the sky. Breathe and relax. In through your nose, out through your mouth, relax. You're looking out to the sea. It's so beautiful. And you feel the breeze in your hair. The warm sun shining on your face. Sometimes a cloud covers the sun. But in an instant, you feel the sun back on your face again, bathing your skin in its comforting, healing energy. You hear nothing but the sound of the sea and the waves softly caressing the sands. It moves backwards and forwards, like soothing a baby to sleep. You feel really safe in this place as you recharge your soul. It's your happy place. And breathe and relax. And breathe and relax. This white sandy beach is just empty. It's like you're the only one there, right here and right now. Like Robinson Crusoe. The sea is so gorgeous. It's such a clear blue. and the waves are soft and gentle. Breathe and relax. Everything is calm. You love the sunshine, but equally you love it when the sun starts to set and the beautiful colours of the oranges as the sun goes down. You have so many happy memories of so many beautiful sunsets in Hawaii. You can daydream about those now as you breathe and relax. And breathe and relax. And enjoying another 5 breaths in and out in your own time. You might like to breathe naturally in through your nose, out through your nose now, just feeling your tummy rise and fall as you breathe and relax. Escape to your beautiful beach whenever you like, for tranquility, for calm, for peace and serenity. Enjoy this moment whenever you like to bring you back to a place of calm and inner peace. Your happy place is waiting for you anytime. We always have a soul home and a soul place. Enjoy. Take a breath in. As you breathe out, wiggle your fingers and your toes. And again, another breath in. And another breath out. And slowly open your eyes. Take your time coming out of meditation. If you're lying on your back, just roll your head side to side. If you're sitting, just turn your head side to side. And after relaxation and meditation, just always enjoy a lovely glass of water and perhaps a cup of tea. Some lovely fresh air. Shrug your shoulders up to your ears, drop them down. Happy shoulders, one more. Shrug, breathe in, and relax them down. Happy shoulders. And have a beautiful, beautiful day. You are wonderful. Be nice, be beautiful, be wonderful to you in mind, body, and spirit. Lots and lots of love. We're back. How did you enjoy the relaxation meditation to the beach today? Now, today's meditation and relaxation was inspired by Sophia. This is where she loves to go personally in meditation. It's a really special place, and like me, has a love of Hawaii as well. But whichever beach you chose to go to in your mind, that was the perfect beach for you today. And really hope you enjoyed that. Hope you got a lot out of today's podcast. Really, really, really do. And it's really interesting stuff. We must be kind to ourselves. We must be kind to our minds and thoughts. And yeah, I'm just stroking my head here. Must be kind. Be kind to you. Thank you, Sophie, again, and sending you all lots and lots of love. And see you on the podcast next week. Yeah. See you there. Lots of love. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access my free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes on my website. You can also book your reduced back pain to feel good one-to-one Mindfulness Pilates program on Zoom, or Mindfulness Pilates membership by going to mindfulnesspilates.com.